graveyard. You can lay somebody down.
Bless you, Lord.
But on that first resurrection morning, I'm gonna come out, come out, come out out of the grave.
Amen, brother. Bless your Lord.
Thank you.
Danny, this lady plays, she sings this song. That's why she's asking if they could learn it and sing it.
Yeah. I can pull it up. Yeah.
I told her you could, but you can pull it up.
All right, here you go. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
The anchor.
Oh, ain't that good?
Though the ship
is Thank you, Lord.
Good song, that's right.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Hallelujah. Sharon, you want me to do your song?
Oh, I ain't leaving yet, man.
All right.
10 minutes until I miss one.
Bless him, Lord. That's great to get. Amen. What a Savior. What a salvation. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we've got all kind of people here that I didn't realize was even here. All right. Hallelujah. Man, I have to admit, Brenda Samuel sung the message I was going to deliver this morning. I don't think she left any of it out in her song. I remember back when Mike Kinslow used to sing that song, "That the Anchor Still Holds," and he left. And then Steve Houchins picked up after Mike Kinslow, and he sung it, and then he left. And now Sister Brenda picked it up. I love that song and how true that song is. I'm glad the anchor does still hold. Because this world will turn you every which way but loose, amen.
Amen.
I'm glad I got something to hold on to, amen.
Amen. That's right.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I ain't about to let the Lord go. And He's altogether lovely. He loves me with a love I can't even describe. And praise God for Him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, I like them good soft chairs. Amen. Ain't them better than them old hard wooden pews? I don't know how in the world it cannot get crumpled in here. Well, it looks like we've gained a little room. Got about 50 chairs, and I say, praise the Lord. Amen. Little church trying to do a big work for God. We're getting a little bigger ourselves. And I'm talking about that's the Lord's blessings upon our effort. Thank the Lord for it. Amen. All right. We're going to be preaching today, I think, out of 1 Peter. Let me see what I got wrote down here. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 2. And you can be turning your good old King James Bible there. We're going to be continually, I guess, changing some things around here, trying to get this a little bit more... more accommodation. We're going to be redoing the back here around the kitchen a little bit. We're going to try to make that door maybe a little wider. Get Brother James in here, Sister Star, bless her heart. They hit both sides of the door coming in here. But we're going to be preaching out of 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read the first five verses. 1 Peter chapter 2. The Bible says, Wherefore laying aside all malice, that's like anger.
Yes.
And all guile, that's like poison. And hypocrisies, that's like, you know, playing instead of being real. And envies, that's kind of like jealousy. And all evil speaking, that's kind of like stuff you don't want to get caught saying, and nowadays they've got it all recorded, so if you say it, they'll dig it up and use it against you. Abstain from Twitter and all of that stuff, because if you ever run public office, you'll have to run the gauntlet, and they'll dig everything you've ever said up and use it against you. Verse 2, it's our text verse. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And I like that scripture we just read right there. And we're preaching today on growing in the Lord. And we'll go to God in prayer. Father, we thank You for the good singing. We thank You, Father, for the accommodations, Lord, that You allowed us to obtain. And thank You for the men that worked, Lord, to get all the pews moved and get the chairs in here and do some of the remodeling. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, to have men in the church, Lord, that aren't afraid to work. And me and Brother Ed, Lord, we're kind of like two old mules, Lord. We're still trying to find something we can do. We thank You, Father, for allowing us to be successful in our venture, Lord, to go down to Gallatin to get these chairs. May it be a blessing, not just to the church, but to the Lord, the members, Lord, to the family of God. I pray, Lord, You'd help us, Lord, in all things, Lord, to be blessed. And Lord, may we continue, Lord, I pray, to be a blessing to You. Bless our efforts, Lord, here today. Thank You for everyone that's here. Thank You for those that will be listening by way of the internet. Lord, we want to be a blessing, and we need Your help to do that. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Like I said, I'm preaching on growing in the Lord. And before I preach, I do want to say this. That defund the police effort being made by the political idiots, thanks to that effort, the murder rate in Portland is up to 1,900% now. That's one thing to be up 100%, but in Portland, Oregon, the murder rate is up 1,900%. That's terrible. We need the police. Like I mentioned in Sunday school, we had a law and order president, and they didn't want law and order. They wanted lawlessness and riding in the streets, burning things down, turning cars over. All that stuff just shows you that spirit of Antichrist that's already here working in our day and hour we're living in. That's why we need to redeem the times. The days are evil. But growing in the Lord there, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through verse 13, he talks about, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. You better expect troubles. He said, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And Sister Brenda sung that song, "The Anchor Holds," and you're going to have troubles. You're going to have trials. The sails are going to be tattered. The ship is going to go up and down, but the anchor will still hold if you get that anchor. The Bible talks about the anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast. If you got the right anchor, amen, it'll hold, amen. I'm looking for a scripture here real quick. And it talks about an anchor in Hebrews there, and I thought I could just turn over to it there. But it talks about an anchor to the soul, both sure and steadfast. And praise God, He is an anchor to our soul, amen. And you know, we're going to have trials. We're going to have troubles, but praise God, like she sung, the anchor will hold. Amen. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, again talking about troubles, he says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I mention that because the more you grow in the Lord, the more you kind of take trials as just being normal.
Yeah.
You know, my pastor, he got saved when he's 10 years old. And it's kind of funny, Sister Carolyn. He said, even at the age of 10 years old, he said, the devil attacked me. He said, you didn't really get saved. And he got to thinking, I must have got something, so he never said nothing to me before. So I mean, in this day, if you just stop and think about it, when the devil does come against you, there's a reason he's coming against you. And he said, I must have got something. But you're going to have to hold on. The Bible tells us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. We're going to get a reward one day.
And
praise God, them little old trials that we thought was big are going to seem as nothing when we see what He went through just to get us to heaven. We're going to say, I just had a few light afflictions. She talked about them things slipping through your fingers in that song, and I'm glad you sung that song, by the way, Sister Brenda. Because in 1995, in my mother's house on a Sunday morning, my youngest daughter showed up unannounced, just out of the blue, showed up there at Mom's house, and man, I ate dinner with her that day, glad to see her. You know, at seven, she lived 17 one week. So at that age, you're running four different directions wide open.
Yeah.
But anyway, she showed up, and I was glad to see her. Mom, glad to see her. She ate dinner with us that day, and boy, it was good. I like to sit at Mama's table one more time. You know what I mean? But anyway, we was out there, and I looked in her beautiful blue eyes, her beautiful blonde hair. And you know, as a father, I'm picking on her a little bit. That's just the way dads are. She's talking about her boyfriend. And I'm giving him down the road. I'm saying, you talking about that wormy thing? She said, well, Dad, I really like him. And I said, well, honey, I want you to know I like him because you like him. I said, you got my blessing. And we kept on kind of that conversation. I said, you'll probably end up marrying that old sorry thing. She said, well, I do really like him, Dad. I said, I just want you to know if he suits you, he'll suit me somehow. I mean, you just make the best of it, you know. But she left that day, Timmy. Spent a pretty good while with me. When she got ready to leave that day, she said, Dad, can I get some money from it for some gas? Once I reached in my billfold and pulled out some money, and she said, that's too much. And I said, that's not too much. You be careful. Daddy loves you. Get on out of here. And you know, Brenda did a good job singing this song. You try to hold on to things that you can't hold on to.
Yeah.
Now she left that day and went out there to our house because I spent Sunday with Mom trying to comfort Mom. Dad had left Mom for another woman and I was just trying to comfort her. I showed up there every Sunday, eat dinner with her and tried to comfort her and care for her, fix anything that needed fixing, whatever. But as she left to go out there to our house, she started back into town and she had a car wreck and ended up taking her life. But I'm at Mom's house and I'm taking me a Baptist nap, like I was telling Brother Don is going to get me a Baptist nap in sometime today. But I was sitting there sleeping and the phone rang and Mama answered the phone. I'm in Mama's living room. I'm laying on the couch. I'm having a great day. Thank God the anchor holds.
Yeah.
My Mama answered that phone and I could tell by the look on her face that it wasn't good. And Mama, she said, it's for you. And I went over and answered that phone. It was TJ Community Hospital. And they said, your daughter's been in a bad wreck. You need to get out here right now. And I have to admit, buddy, thank God for the anchor. It rocked my boat pretty good. I was over there at the hospital, Brother Ed, and my pastor, he's already there. And, you know, a good pastor, I don't know how, but they get informed. So he already knew about it. He's already there.
Yeah.
And he said, Brother Ed, let's go back here and pray. And my wife's pastor was there too. And both of those men went back there and we knelt down. I couldn't pray. All I could do is weep. Mm-hmm. So I put my hand on them two men's back and they was praying, Lord, spare her. Lord, let her live. And anyway, they done what they could. I couldn't do nothing but cry is all I could do. We went back to the waiting room. And I'm sitting in the waiting room. The door opens and the doctor comes in there. And he's looking around for her father. Here I am. I'm over there weeping. And he said, are you her father? And I said, yes, sir, I am. That doctor got down on his knees, Brandon. He crawled to me on his knees. He buried his face in my lap, and he wept for a long time. He looked up at me, Brother Ed, hair streaks down his cheeks. He said, son, I've done the best I could. I'm so sorry. The helicopter was on the way, and it didn't make it in time. She literally bled to death internally, ruptured her spleen. And she bled to death internally. But I pulled that doctor up my arms and I hugged him. I said, I know you done the best you could. Thank you for all you done. See, he's just a practicing physician. He don't walk on water.
That's right.
He don't raise dead. He just does what he can with the means that he has. He can make a prescription. He can maybe do a surgery. But listen, that day, May 30th, 1995, God that knows when to plant, that knows when to pluck, the times and the seasons in his hand, knows exactly what needs to be done.
That's right.
He took my daughter home.
Yes. Amen. Thank
you. And I'm kind of like David that wept about his little boy.
Yeah.
That the prophet said the child's not going to live. After the word come to me that my daughter died, I accepted it. It wasn't easy, but I did. I accepted it. I'm a young Christian. I've only been saved 7 years, but you think, I'm saved. Why should things go wrong? Why not? This ain't heaven. We're down here. There's a devil down here. I want you to know he's going to come against you. He's going to rock your boat. He's going to try his best to overthrow your faith.
Yes, amen.
That's why you need to be built up.
Yeah.
You need to grow in the Lord. Brenda, you done a good job there singing that song.
Yes, you did.
You can't hold on to some things.
Yeah.
They slip right through your fingers.
Yeah, they do.
I held her as long as I could.
Yeah.
There's another holder now, Brother Ed. He's holding a whole lot better than I can hold him.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. We can't see, but we're going to go there one day and see.
That's right.
I promise you this, when we do get to heaven, we're going to say, Lord, you knew what was best.
Yeah.
Forgive me for not understanding.
Yes, Lord.
You want a good verse to help you with that? Isaiah 57 verse 1
right.
Says the righteous perish,
that's
merciful
right.
Men are taken away, and none considereth they're taken away from the evil that's to come. God sees farther down the road than you and I can.
That's right.
The Bible says we see in part and we know in part. Sometimes in part we can see we don't acknowledge.
That's it.
But God sees all, knows all. Like I said, He knows what He's doing. Sometimes I make a mistake of thinking I know what I'm doing. But thank God the anchor still holds. But even as a young Christian, I had to understand that God's on the throne and our days are numbered. And even though I didn't understand about my daughter, I will understand one day, amen.
Right.
There's no place in here to abandon ship. There's no place in here to go back. I mean, buddy, I'm telling you right now, I'm on board to stay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going all the way.
Yeah, me too.
In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it talks about let us go on. Some people get saved and they don't go any further. And you know, they don't never really grow. And you do need to grow. I want you to know this ain't no cakewalk. I know the grace of God is sufficient. But by the test and the trials of life, you're going to have a hard time if you don't have any Bible in your belt to be able to put things in perspective.
Right, you're right.
What I mean by that is, when that happened, Tammy, I started reading the book of Job.
Uh-huh.
I read in there, here's a man that fears God, upright, excuses evil, and God's blessed. He said, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him. Got a high accommodation with God. To the devil, and the devil said, let me have him. I'll show you.
Mm-hmm.
God did allow that.
Yeah.
Sister Bonnie, he buried 10 children one day.
Yes, he
did. And I thought, well, if this man can bury 10, I can bury one.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't just bury 10. He said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. By the way, read the end, he got the children back.
Right.
Yeah.
If you'll notice, he had twice as much ahead in the beginning at the end.
Right.
He only had 10 children. That tells me he didn't lose them first one. He knew where there was.
That's right.
You know what I mean? We'll catch up with them. Hey, man. A lot of things in life won't make no sense. And that's why you need to grow so you can understand some of the things of why you're thus. Amen.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
One of the women in the Bible was Isaac's wife. I think it was Rebecca. And she complained and went to God and said, why am I like I am? She said, why am I thus? And God answered and said, two nations in your womb.
Mm-hmm.
And the elder will serve the younger. Jacob ended up being Israel. And Esau ended up being a kind of a problem, a castaway.
Yeah.
Troublemaker to some degree. But they got along. The Bible said a brother is born for strife. But anyway, in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it talks about Jesus. He increased in wisdom and stature. That means he didn't stay a little bitty babe in a manger. He grew up in stature and in favor with God and man. And let me tell you, you need to grow. We're not home yet. I don't know what's over the next hill and around the next curve, but you need to grow. Me and Brother Ed, when we took all them pews out of the church, we noticed there was a lot of Bibles here. And we piled them all back there on that back pew, and it went way up. A lot of Bibles in here. And he said, how come there's so many Bibles in here? I said, I think it's because they're not being read, amen. But I'm on my 18th journey of reading my Bible through.
Yeah.
And it's not easy. It's something I don't even like to read. I won't read anything but a Bible. But it's something you have to discipline yourself to do. It's not going to happen.
No.
You got to turn the TV off. You got to sometimes turn the phone off. You just got to make it happen. But Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, He said, if ye be my disciples, continue ye in my word, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Amen.
It'll give you the advantage over the adversary, because he's going to lie to you every chance he gets.
Amen.
And you know what? I've read my Bible a couple of times there, Brother Ed, and I realized why the devil had lied to me. I found the truth of the Word of God, and I told that devil, you lied to me, and I found out, praise God, I'm more than a conqueror through Jesus. Amen. Well, I told Brother Ed the other day, as I was driving over to pick him up and go get these pews, I said, the Lord gave me the message I'm supposed to preach this Sunday, and this is it, right here. You know, I'm 67 years old, and some of y'all that's old, and some of you that's young.
That's young.
But I do remember my mother.
That's young.
We had a 1957 Chevrolet station wagon. It was black. It had that white in the wing back there by the back. And it had a black and gray checkerboard interior. And I remember that little towhead boy and me sitting in that car. And Mama started it. I think it's 283 or 327 Powerglide 57 Chevrolet station wagon up with the carriage and the horse on the hood, you know.
Yeah.
She started that thing up, Brother Ed. And I'm over there looking. And Sarah, that dashboard looked like an airplane cockpit. I'm sitting there thinking, how is she going to figure all that stuff out? Mama's looking at the gas gauge. She's looking at the oil pressure. She puts her foot on the brake, takes it out of park, it was automatic, put it in reverse, and it started backing up, Tammy. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'll never figure that out. I mean, I'm pretty young. My first car was a 1954 Chevrolet, but anyway, we'll get on that here in a minute. But I'm looking at all this instruments. I thought, how she turns the heater on. It's in the wintertime, you know. I thought, how is she figuring all this out? And to me, I'm not kidding, it looked like a spaceship or something. A 57 Chevrolet. I think it was a Bel Air. Heck, I don't know. I don't. It was just a 57. We couldn't afford much. It was a four-door 57 Chevrolet station wagon. And I'm in it. And I'm watching her, Donnie, and I thought she stuck that key in the dash, not the steering wheel in the dash, and turned that key and that thing fired right up. And she drove me to school, or we went to the grocery store, or what, and I'm sitting there thinking, how is she doing this? Then it comes time for me to drive. And I've been riding go-karts, you know. I had a little old go-kart, and I learned how to slide around the curb, how to turn this way and that way, and how to stop and all that. But I had never drove it, Brenda. Here I am, now it's time for me. I've done got my permit, you know. And I start this car up, and the road looks too narrow. I mean, I'm driving like this right here. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to fit this thing on the highway, and I'm meeting people. I'm running off the road because I don't think it's wide enough. Now it's not. I duck everywhere I go. I don't even ever look at the road no more. But you see, I've grown a lot. But when I first started, it just seemed like that car was too wide for the road. When I first started, it just seemed like so complicated, you know, scared to do anything, you know. I remember I was practicing driving. My mama had a 67 Buick Special. Daddy bought it before he got in trouble. He's trying to patch things up, you know. He said, I bought you a car. We went up going to Florida, that thing. But it was a 300 V8 two-barrel, and it was automatic. And I was out there in the driveway practicing driving this white 67 Buick Special. And I'd back up the driveway, and I'd pull it. And then I'd back up, and I'd pull it. And I'd turn around, and I'd back up, and I'd pull it. Well, this will happen this time, Sybil. I'm kind of coming down the driveway, and I'm headed towards the garage. And I've got pretty relaxed. I'm not really paying a lot of attention. And I thought I was hitting the brake and hit the gas. My poor old black Labrador trailer was sitting there about half asleep, and here I come, Patrick. I mean, I'm talking about fire coming out of this thing. I'm headed straight toward the concrete block garage, and that black German shirt, black Labrador Retriever, leaped for his life, and I'm pushing gravel, and I ain't kidding. When I got that thing stopped, I had guys in the car with me. We was all trying to learn how to drive. You could not walk between that front of that car and that building, and we done all lost color. Brenda's talking about her blood pressure. I had blood pressure problems that day right there. That woman was 16. But I got mixed up, which was which. You know, I thought I had it down pat, you know. And, you know, in a lot of ways, growing in the Lord's kind of like that. It wasn't too long I got where I could drive. Daddy said, I heard you 4 blocks away. That was when I was in that 66 GTO 327, three deuces and 4-speed in the floor. No, it wasn't three. It was a 389 three deuces. I had so many cars, got them mixed up. I told him about every one of them. But he said, I heard you 4 blocks away. Well, anyway, I learned that there is such a thing as a speed limit. They got these lights they turn on, you know, and they let you know. Like, I went to driver's school, I had 1 point left, you know. But I learned you got to drive a certain speed. The Bible does tell us to run the race with patience. You don't want to get ahead of God, and I've been there. It ain't no fun. It's pretty lonely. But these policemen really helped me to learn that there's some rules. You know, not just drive a car. You got to compete with everybody else on the highway nowadays. You come out and they're trying to text and drive, and maybe they're on dope or maybe they're drunk, and you got to figure out some way to get to where you're going without them running over you. But anyway, I learned there's such thing as a speed limit. I learned there's such thing as a red light, a yellow light, and a blue light, and even though y'all still run them, you're still supposed to stop when it's red and slow down and, you know, use extreme care when you go through on the yellow. I didn't pay no attention to none of it. I got all kind of dickies back then. But me and Brother Ed, we was kind of reminiscing a little bit. And I ran a stop sign one time, and a policeman, he gave me a ticket for running that stop sign. And he said Karen was driving the car. And they come up on a stop sign, and if I understood it right, she just kind of slowed down and went ahead. And the policeman pulled her over and said, you didn't stop for that stop sign back there. And she said, I just kind of slowed down and then went. He said, it says stop. And I don't think he gave her a ticket, but he gave her a warning. But you learn that there are rules to driving a car. And it's kind of the same way we're growing in the Lord. You got to take your time. You got to let God help you. You know, I don't know about y'all, but when I first started reading the Bible, it was worse than that dash panel on that 57 Chevrolet station wagon. And the Bible tells us in the book of James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So one day I did just that. I knelt down and I said, Lord, this is your word. I'm your son. And I was really struggling. And I said, Lord, I'm praying you'll open your words to me and make your words known to me. To my amazement, he did. Everybody kept saying, you've been called to preach, you've been called to preach, you've been called to preach. I just did what God said, pray and ask for wisdom. And he did open his words to me, made his words known to me. And I've been carrying them in this old clay vessel now for 33 years. But I want you to know, the Lord began to work in you. He'll continue if you'll let him, amen. He'll help you to grow.
That's right.
But, you know, it just takes a while to grow up. It don't happen overnight. And you got to run that race, like I said, with patience, Hebrews 12:1. And you got to study to grow. And you got to rightly divide the Word of God to grow, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15.
All right.
Here's a good analogy on rightly dividing the Word of God. I heard a preacher preach one time on the radio, and he's my senior in the Lord. And I heard him on the radio because I like him. I think he's a great man of God. But in his doctrine that he's in, I'm not putting him down for it because they do a great work for God, I'll tell you right now. But he was wrong with what he said. He said, as he's preaching, he said, my Bible tells you me you got to endure to the end to be saved. And that is true in the tribulation.
Yeah.
But it's not true in the age of grace. By Amen. Grace, we're saved through faith.
Amen.
That not of ourselves,
right.
It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
That's
Ephesians
right.
chapter 2, verse 89. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His mercy and His grace, He saved us by the washing and regeneration of the Holy Ghost.
Thank
I just
you.
Want you to know it was God that saved me. I'm not enduring to be saved. I'm already saved by the grace of God. And like Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's all I need to be. Amen.
Yeah.
But he said, my Bible tells me you got to endure to Him to be saved. That just don't fit. I wrote him a letter. I told him you don't need to be preaching that because that's a tribulation passage. It is true that in the tribulation you'll have to endure to be saved.
Right.
by rightly dividing your Bible. Part of that Bible's wrote to the Jews, part of it's wrote to the Gentiles, part of it's wrote to Christians, part of it's wrote to sinners, part of it's wrote to pre-tribulation people, saints, and part of it's wrote to tribulation people and passages. And God said in John, 3 John, verse 4, He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Jesus said, John 17, 17, Thy word is truth. And like I said, He wants us to walk in truth. You may not be able to quote Scripture like Brother Eddie. I can't quote Scripture like some people can. But don't make the excuse to say, I can't learn Bible. You know your Social Security number? Yeah. You know your address? Yeah. You know your phone number? Yeah. And we can learn some things. It just depends on how much you want to learn. And I'm kind of contradicting myself right here.
Because
I can't use a smartphone. And the reason for that is because I haven't took the time to learn how to use one. And I don't have really a big problem with it. I've got bigger fish to fry. I can't neglect the table of God for the table of learning how to use a smartphone. My little flip phone serves me well. 99-cent flip phone, but all I wanted to use it to talk with anyway.
Yeah.
I'm too old to teach some things, you know what I mean? I think that smartphone was meant for younger people than me.
Right.
And I'll tell you right now, I've watched Donnie struggle with it. The other day, I thought he was dead. He'd come by now, had his phone on mute or silence. I called him at night, sir, and he didn't answer. I called him. I thought he went to bed early. I called him next morning. He didn't answer. And I thought, well, he talked about getting a haircut, so I texted him. I thought, well, at least he'll know I'm trying to get hold of him. No return on text. No return on call. So I got in my car and drove over to Donnie's. I seen both cars there. I said, he's dead. If one of the cars had been gone, I thought, well, he's going to get a haircut. So I got keys down his house. So I got the keys out, and I walked up there, and I started to open my door. Here comes Donnie. He said, what's going on? I said, I thought you was dead. He said, I ain't dead. I said, well, I tried to call you. I couldn't get a hold of him. But you know what I mean. That smartphone was on mute. He said, call me. I called him. Nothing happened. He said, oh, wait a minute. This phone's on mute or something. It wasn't doing nothing simple. So I don't have a smartphone. Mine just rings like, you know, regular phone. It says, hey, you got a phone going. I try to answer it. Most time it'll drop the call, but I ain't smart enough for some things. But I do want to apply myself to the Word of God. And I'll tell you why. Is we don't need to be children when it comes to the Bible.
Amen.
We don't need to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, carried about by the sleight of men, lying in wait to deceive, and trust you me, they're out there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, Jehovah's Witness, they pull up my driveway all the time. I don't know why they can't get enough, but I set them on the way, Sharon. I stick my head in the car, and they're trying to roll the window up, and I'm talking to everybody in there, kids, women, and all. I'm telling them, boy, if you don't know the Bible, you get a good Bible, believe in Bible preaching church. You get out of this cult, this nonsense you're peddling out of here. I said, it don't matter to nothing. They'll quote a verse, I'll finish it, and give about 20 more go with it. The Bible tells us to be ready to give a man an answer, the essence of the reason the hope was in us. And you know, every now and then you get one of those predicaments.
Yeah, that's right.
They're blind leading blind, heading to a ditch.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we're in light. Hey, now listen, it tells us we got an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Now here's a good example of why I'm trying to preach this message. Jesus tried to warn Peter about the devil wanting to sift him like wheat in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 33. You know what Peter's answer was?
Uh-huh.
I'm ready. That's what he said.
Right.
He said, I'm ready both to go to prison and to death for you. Now those were empty words. But in his mind, sir, he said, I'm okay, Lord. I ain't like what you're thinking. I'm ready to die for you.
Yeah.
Now in that same chapter, he not only denied him three times.
That's right.
But Jesus actually in love, he warned him before he ever even denied him.
Uh-huh.
He said, he told Peter, he said, this day you'll deny that you know me three times before the cock crows.
Yeah.
And if you want to look it up, you look it up, Luke 22:34. he gave him that warning. And in verses number 54 through 62, Peter denied that he knew the Lord. And then the cock crowed, and he remembered that he failed what Jesus told him he was going to do, and he went out and he wept bitterly.
Yeah.
You know, those disciples done pretty good as long as Jesus was around.
Yeah.
Long as Jesus was around, they just go get Jesus. But you know, Jesus couldn't always be around. He's trying to get them ready, Bonnie, to take up the slack, because he's going back. He come down here to do a job, do a mission. And he set his face like a flint. He finished the work that he was sent to do, Eric. And they saw him get caught up into heaven. All of a sudden, they didn't have nobody to run to no more. But if they'd have listened, if they'd have been doers, not hearers only, they would have found out that he gave them everything they needed. And they did find that out in the long run, because they did finally have to stand on their own two feet. They did finally have to do the work that God had called them to do. They did finally go out and deliver the message. They did turn the world upside down. But I want you to know, as long as he was around, they didn't do much of nothing.
That's right.
And we don't, you know, as a pastor, I don't need to be a novice. I need to be seasoned. And one of the saddest verses you got in your Bible is in John chapter 6. Verse 66. That's right, John 6:66. That verse says, from that time, many of his disciples left him and followed him no more. That's a sad verse.
Yeah.
But the reason they left him was because he taught that he was the living bread that comes down from heaven. And he said, except you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part in me. And that just went over their head like they hadn't been listening anyway, Tammy. But Carolyn's getting us some of the communion things to take communion. That's what he was talking about. Symbolic, not physically eating him, but symbolically. We take that communion, we drink that grape juice and that unleavened bread, this little cracker there. She's getting some, and when she gets some, we're going to have a communion service, amen. But that's what he was talking about. He was talking in terms that they didn't understand, and they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? It would have been a hard saying if they'd been listening. Mm-hmm. But see, they hadn't grown, they hadn't matured, and that's why that sad verse. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people out of church today because they don't understand.
Right.
I wish they'd come talk to me. If you got any misunderstanding at all, Sarah's always emailing me, and I'm so thankful, because I want y'all to contact me, call me, anything.
Yeah, that's right.
I want you to grow.
Yeah.
I want to help you grow.
Yes.
I'm here for you. Not always going to be here, but I'm here for you. Well, she's a good one, too. She's got legitimate questions, and she's sincere. She really wants to know what this means.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm supposed to be out to teach. I'm supposed to preach. I'm supposed to present the Word of God as it is indeed the Word of God. God helps me. It's not like it's a hard thing. But a lot of time, God's preaching to me and through me. But most of the time, all I am is, like I told you, the messenger boy. I just deliver the message that God's put in my heart. Boy, we've all got to grow. I don't know how long we've got, but looking at the calendar, I don't think we've got long.
No, we don't.
But we really need to stay in church.
That's right.
We need to pray. We need to read our Bible. Because you wouldn't believe me if I told you what's coming upon the churches. Now, Jesus told his disciples they're going to smite the shepherd, and the sheep are going to scatter. That's coming again.
Yes, it is.
We've already seen a little bit of persecution. We were not essential. They didn't want us, me and brother. They had met them and brother.
Yeah.
We sung, "Won't It Be Wonderful," darn. I don't know what key we was in, but we sung it, them and brother.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, me and brother Ed showed up, tried to act like there's 1,000 people here. But I'm just telling you, that's just the start of it. It's coming.
Yeah, that's
right. It's not going to be a smooth.
No.
So study. Ask questions. Stay in church. Because we've got to grow in the Lord.
Right.
The more you grow, the more you're going to be able to help someone.
Uh-huh.
You never know, driving home, come up on a bad wreck, somebody in there ain't got long to live and they want to be saved. Right. And you don't even know enough Bible to tell them how to be saved. You need to grow enough to be able to tell someone what they need to do to be saved.
Right.
You need to tell them, they need to tell God they need to repent of their sins. Tell God they're sorry they have sinned. Mm-hmm. Repent of your sins. That means, God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. If you want scripture, go with this. Read Psalms 51. Man got caught in sin. He said, Lord, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be just when thou judgest. He confessed he was a sinner. He said, I acknowledge my sin. He didn't deny it. He said, I'm a sinner. Then he asked God to cleanse him. He said, create in me a clean heart. He wanted to be reinstated in what God had called him to be king of Israel. That's King David's one prayed that prayer in Psalm 51. But tell them they need to acknowledge they're a sinner. They need to ask God to forgive them. And then ask God to save them. It's, many have done harm to the simplicity in Christ. I hear it on the radio all the time. A big deal right now being pushed right now about keeping the Ten Commandments. You can't keep a one of them. You want scripture? Back that up. Romans chapter 10 verse 4.
Right.
Christ is the end of the law for righteousness.
That's right.
Everyone that believeth. I need those Ten Commandments so I know what sin is. Paul said, I've not known sin but by the law. But the law no longer applies to me. Jesus nailed it to the cross, took it out of the way. Whom the Son sets free, they're free indeed. He gave me liberty over that. That's a yoke, that's bondage that no one can keep. This whole design was to show you, you needed Jesus to go to heaven.
Amen, that's right.
Without
that's
Jesus, right. You ain't going. That's a whole design. That
way. Yes.
Paul talked about being a schoolmaster. He'll bring you to Jesus. He'll show you needed Jesus.
Yes.
But we need to grow in the Lord.
Amen.
We need to grow in the love of God. Mm-hmm. I was telling Donnie about my neighbor. He did wrong me. Oh, anyway, well, probably reacted differently, but I just forgave him. Mm-hmm. It caused a terrible hardship on me. Mm-hmm. And he did. I went all the way to Cub Run to get a pile of lumber to redo my trailer. I paid for this wood. I gave $150 for it. The guy said, you did bring cash, didn't you? I said, yeah, here. Gave him money, put it on my trailer. I brought it home. My neighbor come over. He's got a trailer that don't have a floor in it, Sybil. And I told him, I said, I'm not going to mention his name. He's my neighbor. So I told him, I said, after I get my floor down on my trailer, I said, you can have all that other wood, do yours. Evidently, sir, he only heard what he wanted to hear. While me and Brother Ed moved in pews, he took all that wood, trailer, and all left, took it over to his brother's house, and I had to piece together my floor. But I did get it done. I got it done. And, you know, maybe it was my mistake, but I was just trying to be courteous, you know. I said, when I get mine done, you can have what's left of your trailer. And I had the best boards on top. You know, I wanted to start with the best boards. I had all the best boards on top. They're all gone. But anyway, it wasn't no cakewalk, but I got the floor done. And you just got to learn how to react. I didn't load the gun. I didn't go over and beat the door down. I didn't act like an idiot like they do nowadays. I just said, well, Lord, forgive him. Help me to. Peter said, Lord, if my brother trespass against me, how often should I forgive him? Seven times? Sound like good Baptist, don't it? The Lord said, I say unto thee not seven times, but 70 times seven in a day. That's 490 times a day you're supposed to forgive your neighbor. I'm trying to be a good neighbor. But I got to grow to be able to do that, Eric. It don't just happen. See what I mean? Beforehand, the old man had done rolled his sleeves up and it'd been on. I'm trying to be a good neighbor. I'm trying to grow in the Lord. Hey, you know what? It takes years to build up a testimony. Does anybody know how long it takes to lose one?
1 minute.
Maybe even a second. But we do need to grow. As newborn babes in Christ, some of you are my senior. But no matter whether you're my senior or maybe even under me, we all need to grow in the Lord to that stature of maturity, to where we can stand with the armor of God on and war good warfare, because there is an enemy down here. This is part of my biggest enemy, the old flesh. Mm-hmm. I got to pamper it every day. And now I gotta try to trim my hair out of my ear. When you get a certain age, you grow more hair in your ears than you can on your head. Trying to trim my hair out of my ears, you know. And Don Heat went down a haircut the other day, and I said, I can't see where they cut any off. He said, I just got a light dust, and I said, did you pay for it? He said, well, yeah. I said, they paid me to cut my hair. Ain't nothing there. But anyway, we need to grow in the Lord, grow in the love of God, and listen. We need to grow also in our burden to get people in the house of God, get them saved.
Amen.
Really do. All this, it's not optional. You got to grow. And God help us. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message today. And Lord, I hope something said, Lord, benefited someone, Lord. I pray their mind, Lord, would be directed, Lord, to read their Bible, Lord, to spend more time in prayer. I know, Lord, you said you will give him perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. In Isaiah 26:4, help our mind to be upon you. And help us, Lord, I pray, to grow, Lord, to that stature, Lord, where if need be, Lord, you could call upon us and we would be ready and able to do whatever you would ask of us. And Father, if there is anybody here or by way of internet that's watching, Lord, that had never been saved, I hope they'll realize, Lord, the time is running out. I hope they realize that they don't want to be here when the tribulation comes. I'm glad, praise God, that God has not appointed the church under wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're not going to be around when they pour those vials out. We're not going through any of the great tribulation. We might go through some tribulation, but not the great tribulation. Lord, I thank you for that. I pray they get saved before it's everlasting too late. In Jesus' name, amen.
All
right, I'd like to ask everybody to stand and get, please, Brother Jerry. And if you feel like it, Sister Sharon, help him there. Sing a verse of invitation to him. And if you got a need this morning, if you got something to, you want me to pray with you about, will you come up here? I pray a lot. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, he would that men always prayed and faint not, but all we do is faint and seldom ever pray. And I'll tell you, brother, the hour is coming when men's going to pray to die, and they're not going to be able to die. It's going to flee from them. Well, now would be a good time to get a good prayer life developed. Amen.
Number 113.